Now it is time to talk food, and more specifically, it is time to talk the ingredients that time forgot. Our resident food historian, Jackie Newling from Sydney Living Museums. She's also the author of Eat Your History, Stories and Recipes from Australian Kitchens. She joins me on the phone. Good morning, Jackie.
Hi, Nick. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Now, we've got yet another ingredient that I think needs a bit of a warning for vegans and vegetarians, because we're going to be talking about the delicately named yet possibly offensive to modern taste buds idea of suet.
I know. I think the idea is, certainly for vegetarians and definitely for vegans, suet is a no-go zone. But for the more nose-to-tail population out there, it's become a lost ingredient, which in many ways is a shame.
Well, what even is suet? Let's kick off with that.
Well, suet is a fat. It's an animal fat. Specifically, it's the layer of fat that's behind the kidney in a cow. Though often the term is also used for the same type of fat in a sheep. Which would have been more common here in the colony back in the day, you know, while we were riding on the sheep's back and every other bit of the sheep. But it's got a particular way of behaving in cooking, which is really good for pastry.
Because it sounds like it should be such a savoury thing, but it wasn't really, was it?
Well, it's got a very neutral flavour. It really doesn't taste beefy. At all, its magic is that it's really quite hard and low moisture and quite pure, so it's got a very high melting point. So it means that if you're back in the day when they were doing those sort of raised pies, those really big, tall, you know, highly structured pies, sometimes the sides were 15 centimetres or more, and quite ornate, it would mean that if you had a sort of wet filling, you know, your sort of meaty, goopy filling, it wouldn't sort of seep through and collapse. So, you know, people who have pork pies, you know, those old-fashioned pork pies.
Still love them, still eat them.
That would traditionally have been made with suet pastry. So they've got a lot more structure.
All right. So when did we start seeing this phased out? When did it start losing favour?
Well, in Australia, probably in the 1960s, like so many other things, we started looking at other fats, and you know, butter became much cheaper to use. A lot of recipes have been rewritten to use butter, and then the dreaded margarine after that. So it sort of faded away from our general culinary repertoire. I think you'd probably find if someone has their grandmother's or great grandmother's plum pudding recipe, that's probably where you find the highest demand for
Christmas
suet now.
Pudding, really?
Because it cooks for sort of six, a good pudding should be cooked for at least six hours. So the suet holds up a lot better than using butter, which just almost melts away in the cooking, if you know. So it was a lot more robust, if you like, and gives the pudding a better structure. As well. And the other thing it's lovely for is for dumplings, old-fashioned dumplings. Stews. Yeah.
Oh, yum. Look, what was it like to store? It sounds like something that would have needed heavy refrigeration at a time when that wasn't very common.
Like any meat product, you would keep it cool, but you'd buy it fresh from the butcher and you just grate it up. And then distribute that through your mix. So whether that's your breadcrumb mix or your flour mix or something like that. So it didn't need any special treatment. And these days, if you really wanted to, you know, be cooking in that traditional way, you can just keep it in the freezer and just grate off whatever you need.
Just a few flakes every now and then. Wow.
Well, you'd be surprised. A suet pudding, it's usually about one part suet to two parts flour. So about a third of the pastry would be suet. So it makes quite a rich dish.
Now,
it's quite sustaining.
I know that I can go and find goose fat because I'm a sucker for duck and goose fat. Yeah. I use them on potatoes all the time. But I've got to admit, I've never seen suet. Is it still available or would I have to go into a butcher's shop?
You have to go into a good old-fashioned butcher shop, and any butcher that sort of breaks down his own animals should have So they usually keep it in their freezers because it does keep well. Mm. Otherwise, they might have, if they're the type of butcher that buys things in ready cut, they might have to order it in for you. But you know, you can get it. You can also buy it sort of dried in a packet in supermarkets, which is sort of the cheats way. It's a little bit like buying breadcrumbs or something like that. So if you wanted to make an old-fashioned pastry or dumpling, you can just, it's sort of like an instant mix. It's like a just add water thing. So it's been dried it's mixed in with flour, and that process sort of makes it shelf stable for a while. Jackie, so it is actually out there.
This is always an education whenever we chat, and I'm kind of in love with this suet idea. I think I might have to try some suet pudding. Thank you very much for talking to us this morning.
My pleasure, Nick.
And again, a big apologies to the vegetarians and vegans. Jackie, we'll talk next week. Thank you very much.
Bye now.
Yes, Jackie Newling. She is from Sydney Living Museum. She's the author of Eat Your History, Stories and Recipes from Australian Kitchens. Grab a copy. It's incredible. What she doesn't know about the way we used to eat isn't worth knowing. Suet, kidney fat. All right, fantastic stuff.